Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Heavenly Father, how we thank you and we praise you that we serve a God that does not need to change because all is already perfected. There is no improving on your word, your work, your plan, your purpose in man. There is nothing to enhance that which has already been spoken from before the foundation of the world. Father, we thank you that we can turn, in turning to your tried and true word, we are actually turning to the future and to the truth that will endure forever and ever. Father, we just ask that you help us to realize how your word is a fortress to our hearts and lives, and that your presence in us, Lord, is our primary source and help for all that we need. Father, we ask that you would bless your word to us, each of us this morning, and that we would receive it with thanksgiving and gladness, truly in our hearts and souls, that our lives might be focused on you. And for that we give you praise as we look to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. In driving into town and thinking about the message today things, the Lord brought up, I guess, kind of a different opening to today's message. But if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'll get you there. And I just want to read, this came up, what I'm going to read to you is out of Matthew 24. But in the Bible study, I'm blessed to have at the assisted living facility in Wahoo on Thursday afternoons. We had a good conversation about some things, and this portion of Scripture in Matthew 24 came up, but I just want to read one verse from this. And it's verse 11 in Matthew 24. It says, verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Because of the abundance of iniquity, we live in a time, and our world is changing, and is changing rapidly. And it's changing in ways, but actually those changes have, I think, you know, it might take the viewpoint of looking back down on this time from a heavenly perspective to understand. But there are changes taking place in the world today that have literally been in the works from the foundation, from the creation of man. And the iniquity that runs so abundantly in the world today, the ungodliness, the crime. There's a headline this morning that now New Orleans has become the murder capital of the United States. With right now, the rate is like 52 out of 100,000 people. There are 52 murders out for every 100,000 people. And that sort of iniquity that seems to be so abundant and just abounding around us, and it, it's It's the point where, you know, we are, in a sense, we're so busy being shocked from the last event that it's hard to be shocked again. Yet we are shocked. We're appalled at what's taking place. And, you know, why is this happening? Why is this taking place? And it is without doubt, as I'm going to turn now to our text in 1 Thessalonians, it's without doubt that the prince of darkness, Satan, is at work in this world in an attempt to mimic, in an evil sense, to mimic the kingdom of God. His is a kingdom of darkness, and a kingdom of death, and a kingdom of destruction, and a kingdom that would seek to overthrow God, even as he has since he rebelled against God, as recorded in the Old Testament. He infiltrated God's creation. He infiltrated the human race in the Garden of Eden. And that iniquity and the mystery of that iniquity continues to work, and it's coming, it seems, to fruition in our lives, in our time, almost daily. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I would want to start, it was going to be the last verse, but I would want to start with verse 11. As Paul finishes, it's kind of an end of a passage and a teaching by Paul. But end with this verse 11, and we'll go back and read from verse 1. But he closes with this in thought. He says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Comfort yourselves. We can comfort. There is need, because of what is taking place in the world, for what is continuing and growing, it seems, to take place in the darkness and the wickedness, the evil, just the iniquity on every hand. We should be, we are called to comfort one another, because it affects us. It hurts us to see the people, the creation of God at war with the creation of God. It brings harm, and it troubles our hearts for the people, the human race, to be at such odds with each other, and so brazenly unloving. Because of the iniquity abounds, people, there's this sense that, you know, there is no consequences for many, many actions, and therefore it doesn't matter what you do. Many writers, many people have spoken of this. You know, what if there were no consequences? I have a quote that I wrote down. It's on a note on my desk at work. But that where people aren't held accountable for harmful actions, however you want to phrase it, whatever level you want to put it at, if they're not held accountable for things that are contrary to good, the more bad things will take place. Because it's the heart and the nature of man, because of sin, to find pleasure in ungodliness, because that is at the heart of Satan. And that's what sin has done to the human race, to find pleasure in the unloving, uncaring, incompassionate acts, and having a sort of power. Some people find great power in exercising harmful power over other people. They find power and pleasure in doing things that actually bring harm and pain to other people, because it makes them feel powerful and as if there's no consequences for their actions. One thing that we can be assured of throughout Scripture, we find this, and we talked about it last week, and I didn't go back to the verses that we're going to use, that I was speaking of last week. We only got part way through, but kind of the tone of it is that there's almost a mock. There is a mockery and a scoffing at the things of God, the fact of God, the person of God, and the people that would follow and worship God. There's a mockery of them because they say God is no longer noticing. If there was God, he doesn't care anymore. He will never require me to answer for my harmful actions. I will never be held accountable because there is no God. I can do whatever I want. And this is being reinforced by those forces that would further corrupt our society and corrupt our world. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's go back to verse 1. Read the first three verses. Paul writes, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." I mean, they already understood it. He'd already taught to them, and they had a good understanding of it. "For yourselves know perfectly," or in a mature and perfect sense, "that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So just stopping with these first three verses, Paul is talking about times and season. There is a coming time and a season in which, well, we all live. We live in a certain time and a season. In the New Testament, the Thessalonians lived in a certain time and a season in the history of the church and the history of God's working. And again, this is God's seasons and God's calendar, not ours. And the Thessalonians were well-schooled in understanding this, as Paul said in verse 2, they know perfectly, that the day of the Lord will come to this world like a thief in the night. This world as a whole, and really we're speaking about we'll read more about that, Paul's not speaking of the Christian world, but the world as a whole, they give no thought to the fact of God, no thought to the fact of Christ as the Lord and Savior, as the Creator, as the Word of God. And so when they will think they have accomplished peace and safety, finally they've gotten all this, everything under control, that they've accomplished this global peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail with a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This world is pregnant with disaster and destruction that is gestating, that is growing larger and larger, and the world is really unaware of it. When I say the world, I'm referring to the world that's without a knowledge of the things of God. The world is pregnant with destruction and travail and misery, and they're unaware of it until suddenly there will be the labor pains, because it's going to give, the world's going to give birth to the full, complete fruition of their rebellion against God, and those pains and the results will come upon them, and there is no escape for that. There is no escape for that. But the Lord comes, as verse 2 says, as a thief in the night. We've had a couple different things happen in our neighborhood this past, really in the past week. Neighbor tried to text me at 2 something in the morning, which I didn't hear. I mean, how do you hear a text at 2 in the morning? That they'd heard gunshots and wondered, are you out target shooting or something like that? I don't know. I think they were joking, but anyway. But so they had heard some gunshots, quite a few gunshots out in that area at 2 o'clock in the morning. And happened in the night. I was asleep. I didn't hear it. Another neighbor mentioned that, you know, did you hear all that music that was playing They could hear from, they don't know where it's coming from, they could hear it from a long ways away. I said, no, I was asleep. I didn't hear it. See, when you're asleep, you don't hear things that might be important. You don't see things that might be important. Saw a little, I don't know if you've seen that, but home invasions in our country today are growing extremely rapidly. In other words, you're sitting home, all of a sudden someone wishing to rob you or do you harm, or both, will suddenly just burst into your home, hold you at gunpoint, take what they want, maybe harm you. Maybe they'll follow you in the door and tackle you and take your money. The lady coming home from the bank had gone to the bank and just entered her home. She opened her front door and somebody came up from behind and drug her in the house and tackled her and took her purse, took the money, and fled. Crimes like that are becoming increasingly more brazen, and I'm not going to go into why, other than to say that it's happening so much the police can't keep up with it. They can't investigate those. These areas like in New York City where crowds of people, usually younger people, will simply pull up their cars, block off the street, get out of their cars, go in to break into stores, take whatever they want, and then scatter in different directions. The police can't even get there. There's so many doing so much at one time. The police are just absolutely overwhelmed. It is a thief in the night when you least expect it. Suddenly, this is bursting upon our society and upon individuals. There's one that was, to me, quite disturbing. There's an elderly couple. The man had to use a walker to get around. His wife needed to help him, and she was wearing some sort of back support or something. And again, they were probably maybe in their 80s or close in that range. But I don't know, somebody rang the door, but I mean, these two men came into their house with guns and shows the wife helping her husband get up with the walker and go into a bathroom and shut the door. And they had a baby cam, maybe their kids had put there to keep an eye on the parents. And so the whole thing's filmed, the whole thing's documented, and, you know, it shows them picking up the folks' cell phones, going to the bedroom, grabbing a computer or TV or something, whatever they could find of value real quick, and leaving. Iniquity is abounding. And so the love toward others and love of God and compassion toward the world is waxing cold. People are less and less caring, because why should I be bothered about caring for somebody else, the world might say. But the world is pregnant, and it's like a thief in the night. Suddenly, unexpectedly, in a time when a person cannot see the things they need to see or hear the things they need to hear, suddenly destruction will come upon this world. And there will be no escaping, because it's going to be, you know, there is a thief coming, but it's not going to be a thief to do harm. It's a thief, like Jesus will come in the manner of a thief in the night upon the world and bring righteousness and judgment. He will establish truth. He will overthrow these things. We have, again, object lessons of how this happens right before our eyes every day. That will be like the coming of the Lord for the world that's not watching, that's asleep, that's drunken, as we'll read, that's not observant, not prepared, not even thinking about it, not even aware of it. So we come then to, let me depart from here. I'm going to turn to 2 Peter. But the world the Christ's return is unexpected, and the world is unprepared. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter speaks of similar things here, where God will actually show up, and surprisingly, God is going to do something. 2 Peter chapter 3 and starting with verse 1 again. Peter writes, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So there's things they've already been taught, but he's reminding them. He's edifying them. "That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." Let me pause that. So when the Lord returns in power and glory to bring justice to this world, he'll come into the world that is, as the world we live in now, is filled with scoffers and those that are mocking the thought of there being a God. Because look what's going on. If there was a God, why wouldn't he stop it? If there was a God, why wouldn't he hold me accountable? He's not holding me accountable. I don't have to answer for this. He will never require what I do at my hands. There's simply no consequences for evil, is what the message that's growing in this world and the message that the devil spreads in the hearts and minds of mankind. But he says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." See, what's coming in the world, and the evil has come upon the world, and we're seeing more and more and more of it. This is not something that has suddenly changed. This is not tied to any one political party. It's not anything that's tied to any one group. This is something that has been building, and it is taking place more and more throughout the world, but it's something that has been building, that the devil has been creating and working on from the beginning, since the Garden of Eden. That is to destroy the testimony of God, the work of God in man, and the outcome. The devil would establish his own kingdom. But no, God will establish his kingdom. But there are those who are scoffers walking after their own lust. When a person has a lust, when they're tempted, when James talks about this, when they are see an opportunity to do something and get something, their lusts are stirred up and it results in sin. Then verse 4 goes on to say, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? All this talk for centuries and thousands of years of the coming of the Lord, where is the promise? It ain't going to happen. God's not going to show up. He's not going to actually do anything to me. He's not going to do anything. I've been to court and gotten out of that. I've been to all other things and gotten out of that. And I can simply commit a felony or a robbery or whatever and run away, and nobody catches me and nothing happens as a result. The world today is growing very, very accustomed to not being held accountable for actions. And so that spreads to the things of God. They say, God's not going to show up and actually do anything. But he says, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, this world's been a mess. It's always been a mess. It's getting messier. And, you know, the best thing I can do is watch out for myself and take care of myself. And again, that love for others waxes cold and iniquity abounds. Then verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. He's putting up with the misbehaviors of mankind. As Paul writes in another place, it's the long-suffering of the Lord that enables others to be saved. People say, I challenge God. I say, well, if this is not what you want me to do, just come down and strike me dead with a lightning bolt. And God didn't do it. So God's not going to do anything. I challenged him, not realizing that God, in his love, though he could do so with absolute righteousness, God has promised, he has sworn, that there are times and that there are seasons, and there's a time for judgment. But right now is a time for the gospel to be spread and to be shared, and for love to be experienced, and the love and grace of God in Christ to be known. And so God is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us all, not willing that any should perish. Because with the judgment of God, with the coming of Christ, will come the perishing of human beings and human souls. Human souls. That is, in the world today, that doesn't really carry a lot of value or weight in people's hearts. Well, what about your soul? Well, what? What are you talking about? The world is living in the darkness of ignorance concerning the things of God. In what seems to us to be an unprecedented manner, but Noah, days of Noah, the hearts of men were given to evil continually, to the point where God brought a judgment upon the earth, and only Noah and his family were saved when he built the ark. The rest of human beings were destroyed. So God is long, he's seen that before. He's done that before. And he does not want to do it again. It's nothing that he finds pleasure in, but there comes a point that unless God intervenes, the devil and his working and his ways will destroy this world and all human flesh with it. So the end result is going to be about the same, but God is long-suffering in the hopes of that there will be yet more to be saved, and not in the hope so much as he knows who will be saved, and is spreading and sharing the gospel and going through these times of testing. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But the devil's just the opposite. He wants everything to get destroyed. He wants to destroy everything, and everything should perish, especially the things of God. But God would that people would come to repentance, for suddenly their hearts are touched by an act of love or an understanding of goodness of God or an understanding of their need of salvation, and that they would repent and turn to God and be saved. We talk about being saved. Are you saved? Ask somebody, are you saved? Do you believe in Christ as your Savior? Even the word saved, what do you mean saved? Saved from what? See, the power of the gospel, the message of the gospel, has become so slighted that people don't understand. What do you mean be saved? What's going to happen? Saved from what? Well, I don't believe that, what you're saying. I don't believe that I don't believe that, God's going to send anybody to hell. I don't believe there is a God. And because I said it and I believe it, therefore, that's the way it's going to be. People make up their own laws regarding the nature of man and the future of man and the history of man. And we live in a world that contributes to the validity of that by saying, well, you can believe whatever you want to believe. Whatever you want to believe, that's we were supposed to accept that. We're supposed to embrace that. You can believe that the world is flat or a cube, whatever you want to believe. You can believe all manner of things. And the world says, well, we're supposed to accept that. We're supposed to believe that. Well, that's not what God says. That's not what God has promised. And no, you just cannot pick a God and pick a way and pick. No man has the power to keep alive his own soul, and no man has the power to create heaven or hell. or eliminate hell, or consequences for sin. That is all in the hands of God. But we live in a world today where we're seeing this play out incrementally more and more, and it's been very slow in coming, but when the change comes, it's going to happen very rapidly. I'm partially quoting a person I heard watching on the looking at on the computer this morning, giving a speech about the it's the CDC, but not the medical. It was something for digital currency, and how we're moving behind the scenes. You know, we hear things. But the whole thing with COVID and what happened around the world, and it's a coalition for digital currency or something like that. But one of the speakers, I mean, this isn't hidden behind the scenes. It's something they're discussing, is that how quickly in the United States is, as far as I've heard, is supposedly looking into moving towards some sort of digital currency. And the man said very plainly, he said, so that we can control the economy, so that we can control and gain control over finances and know what people spend and what they do not spend. And how that's tied in to what they can control with your political or social points of view. The example given was, you know, there was the truckers thing in Canada where they were protesting the requirement for COVID vaccines. And somebody set up like a GoFundMe page or something, and people were contributing into that bank account, that fund, to support the truckers. What did the government do? They shut off that bank account, so you couldn't do that. That's control. So in other words, if a person's political or social point of view does not align with the governing authorities, they can keep you from conducting financial transactions when it's done digitally or electronically. That's why people were going out with cash and gasoline and food and supporting the truckers that way. I'm not saying for that or against it. What I'm simply saying is, the government and the world is gaining this control, according as Scripture has told us. The day is coming where you will not be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast. The church will be gone at that time, but there will still be believers on earth at that time. As the one man said, we have the technology. There is one city, I don't remember the name of it, in Sweden, where they made this decision a few years ago to go completely cashless and no credit cards, nothing, that the people in the city voted on it and agreed that everything would be done by an electronic chip implanted in their hands. And if you want to pop, you go to the pop machine, hold your hand up, dispenses your pop. Takes off your bank account. No cash needed, no credit cards to look at, nothing to sign. It's all done digitally, and they're using that as a study and as a promotion of conducting life that way. It is coming. No doubt about it. It is coming. This sort of control over what a person believes, a control over things as detailed as what they buy and what they support and what they believe is coming. And I don't care which side of the political, where in the political spectrum a person might stand, the loss of that freedom to disagree with others and put your money where your mouth is and to work and to buy food and basic things, that loss of liberty and freedom should be of concern to everyone. But the world doesn't care as a whole. There's no consequence. What's the big deal? I don't have to write out checks. I don't have to pay bills. I don't keep track of anything. Money's just there in my bank account. I spend it. It's just the same. It's just the same, except there is an overseeing body that knows everything that you say and do. They shut off, discontinue different accounts and social media. Well, they don't like what you say. If you use these sorts of words, they shut you off. That's just on that one account, but maybe others. You can still talk to people around you, but then, you know, again, there is this loss of privacy and this ability to be accountable to God first, and his ability to disagree with government. God would have every man to be saved and come to repentance. But the day is coming. That's the point I want to emphasize today. The day is coming. The season, the times are coming. As verse 10 says here in 2 Peter 3, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's another judgment coming, not a flood, but one of fire, of purging and purifying fire, of cleansing the earth of all the works of man and all the works of sin. And God will set up his kingdom on earth. Where he, you see, God already knows everything you say. He knows where you spend your money. He knows what you support, what you don't support, what you're for, what you're against. God already knows that, but God's intent is to guide us and steer us toward a heart of love toward him and compassion and embracing what his will is. The devil is setting up a false kingdom where he wants to know everything you say, everything you do, where you spend your money, all those sorts of things, but to control and destroy us, destroy mankind. See, it's going to be a kingdom. This world is going to end up, there's going to be a kingdom. But it's not going to be the kingdom of darkness. The Lord will come as a thief in the night when the world is thinking everything is just hunky-dory, just fine, peace and safety. But the Lord will come and destroy it all in a very, very most, it's going to be the absolute worst thing that's ever come upon this earth. But it will be finally the end of all sin. And we will either be residents in the kingdom of God forever, or we'll be residents of the lake of fire of judgment if we've stood against God. There are no other options. There simply are no other alternatives. It will be one or the other. The good news is that God loves man. He wants to save man. He doesn't want to wish that any would perish in his judgment. But the judgment must come, because if people aren't held accountable, if the devil isn't held accountable, then it's just going to continue and it's going to get worse as we are seeing. And we'll see more of it. It's going to get worse because the devil wants to destroy, God wants to save. And is able to save. The devil wants to pretend everything's going to be fine, but at the end, the bottom will drop out and he wants to destroy you. God wants to save us, and he supports us, and he teaches us, he shows us why and how, and we see the benefits of obedience to God rather than obedience to the flesh or to the darkness of the devil. So Peter writes in verse 11, he says, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in an holy conversation, in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This earth is going to be destroyed. Everything that man has done under sin is going to be destroyed. The scriptures are very clear about that and have been clear about that from the beginning. There is no benefit to being on the receiving end of God's judgment. There is every benefit for repentance and yieldedness to the things of God. Because there's two kingdoms. And one is going to overthrow the other. And all of this is happening on planet Earth. That's why I say that I don't believe there's other life other right now. At this time, there is not any life anyplace else, any life of any kind of significance anywhere else in the universe. Because everything that is happening right now here on Earth. Because God controls all creation, all the universe. There's not another Jesus in another place where sin is at work. It's all happening here on earth right now in our lifetimes. And we are seeing that. We are hearing that. So turning back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We finish with verse 3. Verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep or be in that state of mind where we are unaware and we can't see or hear what we need to see or hear. For they that sleep, sleep in the, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us not be of the mind where our minds are not clear to understand this and embrace this. Let us not be drunken with, well, you, it's okay if I don't do what, you know, God would want me to do today. It's okay if I don't pursue the things that God would have me to pursue. There's a drunkenness about self that is destructive. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. People say, why do you bother yourself with going to church? Why do you bother yourself with belief in God? Why be troubled in belief for this? Some God somewhere is going to come down and punish us. That doesn't exist. We need to save ourselves. We need to save the planet. We need to save mankind. We need to do this. We need to do that. Because this is all we've got. And the answer to that is no, it is not. This world is transient and is going to be changed. It's going to be destroyed. It must be destroyed because of sin. We don't destroy it. The Lord will. He will judge the world and establish his kingdom, and sin will no longer exist forever. And our focus needs to be on the Word of God and the will of God. So we put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath or to be recipients of that wrath, but he's appointed us to obtain deliverance. The word salvation here really means deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him forever. So I come back to verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Edify one another, even also as also you do. We should be reminding each other constantly. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the world, but Jesus is going to win. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope or discouragement is not in the things of the world. Our hope and our encouragement is in the promise of God and the hope God has given us in Christ. Thank God that there is a time coming on this world, a once and for all, and God's purpose in mankind and on earth will be brought to a conclusion as it is, but then it's going to all be changed. And those who have believed in Christ as their Savior, those who have known and walked with God, shall not experience the evil and the wrath. But those who mock and those who scoff, those who pursue unrighteousness, ungodliness, and iniquity will be no more. So we will be relieved of the evil quite soon enough, whenever that day might be. But for now, let us focus on the salvation that God provides and the good news of God in Christ, that people would be saved from the wrath of God, the righteous wrath, the well-deserved wrath of God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, O God, for this gospel, for this word, for this truth. Father, that we might be aware, that we might be where we need to be, when we need to be there, Lord, that we might be comforted in these times of trouble and hardship and fear and destruction, the time when iniquity is beginning to abound more and more. Lord, we thank you for the hope you've given us in Christ. We pray for one another's safety. And we pray, Lord, that the message that's on our hearts and lips is that of the love of God in Christ. Father, we thank you for the utter hope you've given us in Jesus. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
590, verse 1.
Let's stand and turn to 590 and sing the first verse. 590 and verse 1. my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. That is the only sane, logical decision that any human being can make, is to live for God. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.